Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three guests on the show today. Michael Jannetty from SpotTrack. That's the correct pronunciation of the salary cap and player contract site. Michael Jannetty runs it. He's the founder of it. He was on my podcast with me yesterday. You will hear that in about 20 minutes. Sean Springs will join us at 11. And then Stanford Steve on Scott's SportsCenter and also College Game Day. He will do a college preview with us at some point during this show. I do want to start the show, though, with a what do you got? So last night, I watched Venus Williams in the U.S. Open. Had no idea she was playing in the U.S. Open. I turned the U.S. Open on, and there was Venus Williams at 45 years old playing in a first-round match, Arthur Ashe Stadium, in front of what looked like pretty much a sold-out crowd. And by the way, plenty of big names, including Maria Sharapova, who was there. The Bryan brothers, the winningest men's doubles team in history. Kim Clijsters is a Hall of Famer. Mark Ein was there, one of the owners of our Washington football franchise. Mark's a big tennis guy, as most of you know, and he was sitting in the Williams box. But she became the oldest competitor at the U.S. Open, male or female, since 47-year-old Renee Richards in 1981. So some 44 years ago, there was a player playing at an older age than 45, but Venus Williams was out there, and I just didn't turn it off because it's Venus Williams. To me, the Williams sisters are way up on the list of the best sports stories of this century, and really it started late last century, because she made her debut at the U.S. Open at 16 years old, I believe, in 1997. And then Serena came on shortly thereafter. But the story of, you know, King Richard, Richard Williams, and the development of his two daughters and the hustling around to get them the proper training, starting in, you know, the public courts of Compton, California. It's such a great movie. It's such a great story. And by the way, almost everybody that has commented on that movie, which is now, what, 4 or 5 years old, has said it is almost to the, you know, second accurate about Richard's development of his daughters, and then the daughters taking what they had been given. But there is something about the two of them. I've been a huge Serena fan during her career, always watched tennis, not because of Serena. I was a big tennis fan, but Serena is the one that kept me into it as I was sort of fading on a lot of the men's tennis. There's something incredibly classy and elegant and tough and purposeful and resilient about the Williams sisters, and you saw it on display last night with Venus at 45 years old, playing the number 13 woman in the world, Muhova from Czechoslovakia. She won the second set 6-2. This is after a 16-month layoff, but about 3 weeks ago, she started to play again and, you know, work her way into what was a wild card entrant into the field. To me, people complain about, you know, certain wild card entries into golf tournaments or tennis tournaments. Look, those sports are still sports that need to be marketed, and there's no better marketing opportunity than Venus Williams at 45 years of age on the biggest court at the U.S. Open. Man, she was crafty. the pace on her serve, she would go for it in a big way with her incredible athleticism and strength, even at 45 years old. And then she'd slice one in, barely, you know, into the ad court where it would kick and just bounce out. There's something about her that I find myself rooting for. She is not done. She is talking about a more significant comeback, although her press conference was pretty emotional. In fact, Max, you've got some of it, right? Why don't you play some of Venus from her post-match press conference last night?
What did you prove to yourself?
What did I prove to myself? I think for me, getting back on the court was about giving myself a chance to play more healthy. And when you play unhealthy, it's in your mind. It's not just how you feel. You get stuck in your mind, too. It was nice to be freer.
She's had a lot of injuries, as most players and athletes have when they get into their 30s and now mid-40s. She said, "There were shots I missed, those kind of shots about feel and less about training, and those are the kinds of things that I couldn't stave off today. I had a lot of returns. I was right there." And then she kind of threw up her hands because it was a sort of an alternately very emotional and at times borderline weepy press conference, and then a lot of laughter as well. She's got a very good sense of humor. Both of them do. And she just threw up her hands and laughed and said, "But it wasn't really my fault." That's the best way I can put it, in a very tongue-in-cheek moment. Too bad she didn't win. I think there was a lot of people watching that match last night that thought, can you imagine if she pulls off an upset Carolina Mahova was number 13 seeded, I believe, 11th ranked in the world, something like that. Or maybe it was 11th seeded, 13th ranked in the world. That actually makes more sense. But she was just younger and better at this point. But can you imagine had she pulled off the win? It would have been one of the great sports stories of the year if Venus Williams at 45 years old, had won a match at a Grand Slam. She's a 7-time Grand Slam winner, 49 career titles, one of the greats, a Hall of Famer, and an incredible sort of presence last night at the U.S. Open, which needs it. You know, it needs it. I think it does. I think tennis right now still, there's some excitement. I'm not suggesting that there isn't some excitement with, you know, the likes of Alcaraz and still Djokovic out there pounding away. But it needed a storyline desperately, and it could have had one for a couple of more nights. But she just got beat by a better player who is right now in more game shape. Fun to watch Venus Williams last night. I think it's been really fun to follow their career and sort of understand their story, because it's an amazing one. All right. Yesterday was one of those days. God, man, social media is the worst. I'm going to read some of this stuff. This is from Eli. Eli, Kevin, admit it. You had it all wrong. $32 million a year. $30 million signing bonus means the guaranteed money is going to be $65 million or more. Terry and his nincompoop agent, LOL, won this negotiation by KO, as in knockout. From Don, Terry outlasted in the long battle. From Kenny, I'm sure Commando Kev will use his airtime today to lecture us on how Terry still doesn't deserve it. Terry's agent is an idiot for getting him what he wants, and how the front office are geniuses for dragging it out so Terry misses camp, but they gave him what he wants anyways. The agent that Sheehan and other radio experts repeatedly dragged through the mud, Commando Kev, owes them both an apology, but we all know Commando Kev never admits when he's wrong. Just don't call me Commando Kev anymore, Kenny, please. This from Ken, not Kenny. Kevin, I really was kind of neutral on Terry getting his money, but I thought about you when the news broke and about his contract. Now I guess you will spin it on the radio that you were always in favor of this outcome, LOL. You sports media people are so funny and mostly inaccurate. I could read another 6 dozen tweets and emails just like the 4 or 5 that I just read. Days like yesterday are interesting. You know, I'm never surprised. I am always interested, curious, more so, maybe a bit mystified as to why some of you continue to kind of make the same mistake over and over again. You know, whether it was on Eric Bieniemy or Carson Wentz or Sam Howell, the list could go on, where you fire so quickly and so confidently when you just don't have enough of the information. I mean, was yesterday your first experience with contract news? You guys know what these initial reports are. The lack of detail, and many times they just end up being marketing pitches by agents. I mean, the biggest red flag on yesterday's announcement was what I said, you know, as it came down, where's the guaranteed dollar number? That's rather important information. It's why you weren't going to hear me say what, you know, guys like Ian asked me to say, which is just admit it. Just admit it. Terry won the deal. He and his agent crushed it. Why would anybody who has ever paid attention to the NFL and contract announcements admit yesterday or even this morning, because there are no guaranteed dollars out yet, that they know which side won the deal? We don't know at this point. We'll know when the details come out. Maybe later today, but they haven't come out. The agent's side is out, and it is notable that the guaranteed money in the deal was missing from the agent's side. Real quickly, let me digress a bit. This from Jerry. Jerry writes, Kevin, it really doesn't matter who won the deal. Terry is in and will play this year. I don't understand the fascination with the deal details. The only thing that matters is Terry is back. There's no reason. And then he writes, there's no reason for you to apologize for being wrong. That was actually a good ending there, Jerry. Because you mocked me, but you also in a subtle way mocked the people, and there are plenty of them out there, who believe that anybody that cares about the deal, now that it's done, and the details of the deal, like who got the better of the deal, who won the deal, somehow that makes you, you know, not a good fan, or missing the big picture, or not being able to move on. What are you talking about? I mean, come on. We've been talking about this thing for months.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, this is, are you going to wait till the end of like a crime thriller, a whodunit, and just be satisfied with, oh, they told me they found him. They got him. He's in jail. Without being interested in the details? Of course the details are what most people are interested in. If you have a strong, first of all, there's just the idea that if you've got a strong opinion and you've taken a stance on something, you want to be right. That goes for you, that goes for me, and we will find out, you know, here today. I mean, this is what sports fans, you know, engage in. I don't get the oh, it's over. We don't need to talk about the details. Who cares? Because he's in. Well, of course he's in. And that's great news. But, you know, more than one thing can be, you know, discussed at a time. Like, you can want to be right about whatever opinion you had on the kind of deal that should be done for him, but also want the team and Terry to be happy that the long-term deal got done and hopefully both sides are okay with it. I wanted that to happen. And I thought it would happen much sooner, of course. I thought it would happen before training camp. But Kenny, I think it was Kenny, hold on. Yeah, Kenny, when you said that I would spin it as if I was always in favor of this outcome, well, yeah, I actually was in favor of this outcome. Now, if you meant to say that I wasn't in favor of the team overpaying Terry, that's true. So I could be reading it incorrectly. If you're saying I wasn't in favor of, you know, overpaying Terry, that I didn't want the team to go beyond, you know, 50 to 60 tops on guaranteed or 28, you know, 27, 28, 29 per year. Yeah, that's true. So if that's what you meant, that is probably true. Because anything above 60 and guaranteed for me would be a bad precedent to set. And Terry obviously wanted a lot more than 60 guaranteed. I don't know if you saw some of Ben's reporting or even Diana Russini's reporting that he was actually asking for, you know, basically just below Jamar Chase initially. But I definitely wanted a deal done. And I always thought a deal would get done. I think I said that about 1,000 times during the last few months. I just didn't want the team to overpay him. That's true. But at this point, though, you know, we don't know the details. We don't know if the team caved or if Terry caved or if both caved or both, you know, putting it in a nicer light for those of you who don't like to discuss the details of contracts. They had a nice meeting somewhere in the middle. That's possible, too. I can tell you this. If the deal is as one-sided in Terry's favor as some of you believe it is, I think the agent would have said that. He would have given not only the years and the overall potential value up to $96 million, he would have provided information on the guaranteed money. Him not doing that is, I'm sure, the reason why you've seen many reporters reluctant, in terms of those who are covering this very closely, reluctant to sort of declare one side having gotten the better of the deal, because we don't know the details. When we get the details of the deal, I think if the guaranteed money's over 60, Terry and his agent did very well and they won the deal. I would say that anything between 55 and 60 in guaranteed money, call it a draw. Anything less than 55, team got what they wanted. Ian and I have a bit of a bet on DM. I basically said, you know, and anything more than 60, Terry won. He took that. Anything less than 60, the team won. But I would say, thinking about it, anything guaranteed between 55 and 60 is kind of both of them finding a middle ground. Anything less than 55 is a big cave by Terry. Anything more than 60 is a big cave by the team. I think the structure as it relates to how much the team owes after a year or two is a big tell on the deal as well. We'll find out that. If there's guaranteed money beyond 2026, big win for Terry. If, you know, there isn't a lot of sort of incentive earnout, that's a big win for Terry. If the team can get out sooner, better for them. You know, there's a lot of detail. The guaranteed money is the big tell more than anything else. But I'm going to reserve the right to wait for the actual details of the deal itself before admitting, hey, I was off on this one. Terry and Adam Peters will speak tomorrow. Adam Peters will address the media, and then Terry's going to talk after practice. And look, yes, the good news is Terry presumably, I mean, knock on wood, will be there and will be happy and feel appreciated and feel respected and feel like the team acknowledged what he believes he is. I hope that that is how it comes together because I've always wanted a deal. I always thought it would happen because it's just better in this window with Jaden on a rookie deal that we've got Terry under contract for at least this year and next to take advantage of Jaden's rookie deal. And look, the bottom line is, man, this team has a chance. I was on a radio show this morning, the show that Denton produces now on the Bet QL network. And one of the hosts, Michael Jenkins, was one of the hosts, but the female host, and I forget her name. She said, what do you think the best case scenario is for Washington this year? And I said, the Super Bowl. They have the best quarterback in the NFC. I guess you could argue Matt Stafford, if you want, or Jared Goff, or Jalen Hurts. I think they're all excellent quarterbacks. I don't think they're Jaden Daniels. And if you've got the best quarterback in the NFC, and in an era where offense typically is more important, that didn't used to be the case, the best case is Super Bowl. And Terry was going to play regardless of extension or no extension, but having Terry and having him have the opportunity to ramp up in kind of a much more positive atmosphere, let's hope that some of the concerns from some of you about soft tissue injuries and the things that you sometimes see when players report late, let's hope that he's healthy. I think we've got enough time, enough of a ramp-up time. He's now 10 days off the PUP list. He's got another, at this point, 5, 7, 12 days until the opener. And really, out of those, 8 real practice opportunities. But that's a lot. And Terry's smart. We know that. So he's been, basically gathering what has been going on, whatever's new. But with him out there, in the right kind of atmosphere, contract extension, feeling good, no threat of, potentially him being unprofessional at any point, which I never thought was a possibility. Debo in shape, a revamped and upgraded offensive line, year 2 in this system. Man, as long as 5 is upright and healthy, this should be a dynamic offensive football team. Defense is the mystery. Defense is the question mark. But I could tell in my answer that both hosts were like, whoa! And I'm like, look, you got to understand. This is, from somebody who hasn't thought much for basically 20 years about a season going into a season. Maybe it's not objective, but I certainly think you can make the argument that they've got the best quarterback and the best offense in the NFC. Maybe it's Detroit. The question comes down to defense. There's no doubt. Like, are they better on defense? Do they have to be a lot better on defense? Maybe not, but they got to be better to win double-digit games and have a chance to advance. Although I said something the other day, and I'm looking for what my buddy Steve sent me. I said something the other day. It's like, with Jaden at quarterback, he's already proven that he's got that clutch gene. And we saw it in 2 different playoff games on the road. You just got to get into the tournament. You just got to get into the dance. With Jaden Daniels at quarterback, no team is going to want to see him come in January to their building. Just get in. I will have my season prediction next week in the build-up to week 1. I'll give you my season prediction and give you guys a chance to do the same. I'm not backing off here at all. I think as long as he's on the field with the players that he will have around him on offense and that coordinator in year 2, I definitely will be talking double-digit wins and the playoffs again. I think it's going to be interesting the rest of the conference. It certainly looks deep, but what will Detroit be without their 2 coordinators? What will Ben Johnson be able to accomplish with Caleb Williams in year 1? Does Green Bay bounce back? Is Philly even better and more consistent in the regular season than they were last year? What are the Rams if Matt Stafford is healthy? What are the 49ers if their overall roster is healthy? What's Tampa now that they may have health on defense? It's a loaded conference, and there are going to be some incredible games on the schedule, incredible buildups on the schedule. I certainly hope so, but, just starting week 2 with the Packers, going out to L.A. to face the Chargers in week 5, that back-to-back Cowboys on the road, Chiefs on Monday night, the Lions at home, the Dolphins in Madrid, the matchup with Bo Nix on a Sunday night, at Minnesota, we'll see what the Vikings are this year, and then at the end of the year, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, but really, the Eagles twice in 3 weeks. This has a chance to be the highest profile season in many of your lifetimes. Can't wait for it to start. We're getting closer. Real college football too this weekend. We'll get to that with Stanford Steve. And Denton's going to be on the show tomorrow with us to talk some college football. In fact, Denton will be a weekly visitor on the show to do the same college football segment that we did last year. All right, when we come back, I want you to hear what SpotTrax owner, founder, and editor Michael Ginetti, what his initial instincts were upon hearing the news and what was reported yesterday about the deal for Terry McLaurin. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.